Welcome back to The Unpolished with your hosts, Angela and Kendall. Let's get into it, shall we?
Hello, hello, we're back in the saddle.
Did you miss us together?
We've had a few episodes where we have just brought other people in and had solo pods, so this is fun to be back on mic.
I know, it feels like it's been centuries. It really has only been 2 weeks, but...
Angela had a good veil trip. I was at a conference. Like, we were just switching off who was doing what, and now we're back. And we're showing up. Listen, I'm so proud of us for showing up for this podcast because it's been a week. Like, this was the whole thing with The Unpolished. Just like, okay, just like, let's show up. And the minute we were talking up top on mic, I was like, oh, I'm so glad we did this. Like, every single time we're like, I don't know if we have the energy. And they were like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it feels good every time, just like a workout, yoga, a meditation, taking a shower, even if you're like fighting tooth and nail and resisting. And then once it's over, you're like, ah, thank goodness.
So glad I did that. Yeah. I have something fun up top that I would like to do. I did a 3-card pull for us for tonight.
Yay. Okay.
So I pulled 3 cards while you were setting up, like sending the link over. And so this is the first time I haven't read the descriptions of what I pulled. And they're so vibey. I'll have to send you a photo, but, this is called Road to Nowhere Oracle Deck. And it's this is my most special deck that I have because I got this, it's like, it's just so unique, but I got it from this artist in Palm Springs. And she was just selling them. It's a very high quality set, but I can't even find them. I'll try to find a link. Maybe if she has something like specifically, you know, at her shop or something, but they're just so cool. And it just feels very special to me because of the time that I got them, that it just, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Number one, we're starting hot and heavy. It is Divine Nectar. And it says juicy, seductive, and completely enraptured in divine nectar. Be open to your body's natural ability to receive physical affection from yourself or another. Even if you don't want to get physical, this card is about feeling sexy, which is also feeling relaxed. Sensuality with life or others and stress do not go hand in hand. Take ownership of your ability to be lusciously arousing. Mm. You are a divine being.
Dang, that's
okay.
Gorgeous.
So then, and this is a card pull for us, but I'm like doing it for the collective. So if you're listening, this is like, think about what this like brings up for you. So the second one is a magician. Okay, love this already. It's time to apply all the skills you have been practicing. Mm-hmm. This is a great learning experience. Using what you've learned can help you further hone your tools. You are discovering that you have the power to create, which is always true magic.
Okay. I makes you
want to
cry.
Oh, my love.
Yeah.
Okay, then the last one, we're going darker here. This one is cremation.
Yeah.
Cremation. All right. This one rounds us out. Let it burn up in ashes. Oh. Let the fire take what it no longer serves you. This is the time to start anew and become purified. Say goodbye. You know what it is. Let it go.
Well, that's very Pisces season vibes too.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. See you later. Pisces is all about purging. End of the astrological year. And man, that's right on target. Okay, the first card though, real quick. Divine Nectar. First off, that phrasing is just delicious. Have you heard of the face gym or like a face workout?
Yes.
Okay, I've only seen it done in LA, so I don't know, like from influencers.
I've never done it, but I know what it is.
Yes, so essentially it seems like a practiced esthetician adjacent person takes gloves and like works on the inside of your mouth and depuffs.
It's very wild looking.
It's very wild, like punching your face around. Well, that sounds bad. Like slapping your face, like massaging your face. It's a face massage, but a little bit more intense because they go on the inside. I'm like, they deck you in the face. I didn't mean it like that. I just, if you see the videos, they are a little bit intense though.
Yeah, it's aggressive, but not in a like abusive way.
No, it's, but I've been interested. I haven't looked it up yet, but I need to see if there's one. And I'm sure there's one in Dallas or Houston. It seems like something that could be around.
How does that apply to Divine Nectar? Asking for a friend.
Cause it was like about things that don't necessarily have a sexual meaning, but they make you feel like relaxed and like sensual and like affectionate. And I feel like somebody touching you, even if paid to do so, falls in that category. You know what I mean?
Even if someone's paid to touch you.
Love it. Well, thanks for doing that, Kim.
Okay. Yeah, of course. I hope that everyone liked that. Something came up for you. Now get it done. Burn it. Let it go. Let's talk about your styling experience.
Okay. So I've mentioned on another episode that I am a huge fan of Allison Bornstein. She is a fashion stylist out of Chicago, does a lot of helpful videos, wrote a book called Wear It Well, and is famous on TikTok and Instagram for her styling content. Most famously known for Wrong Shoe Theory, in which like you can really like elevate an outfit by wearing the less obvious shoe. She has a closet organizing method. Love it, love it, love it. So for my birthday, I treated myself to a styling one-on-one experience with her. So if you're a fan or if you've been thinking about it, I loved it. I'm so excited. I was shouting from the rooftops. Ken knows. I was like telling her all about it right after.
She was so deep in the sauce, but I can see such a shift in your experimenting with things ever since you talked to her.
It's true. It's been a month out and the magic is not lost on me. I'm still so excited to get dressed. I haven't actually bought anything new except one pair of sandals and a skirt. And I say that not as like a confessional, but more as like, I just had a new way of looking at my closet. Now, granted, my closet is a little bit robust. I wouldn't say it's crazy, crazy cluttered. So it sort of unlocked my whole closet for myself again. Anyway, if you know me in real life or if you've seen me, I love color. I love color blocking. I love patterns. I love brights. And those can be challenging to find through lines. And so we were talking about it. And it really just never occurred to me because I will buy a capsule wardrobe in a neutral family and then I just won't wear it. And so when I was talking to Allison, she was like, well, why don't – because I was like, oh, I probably need something to anchor my outfit, right? Like a neutral shoe, a neutral bag. And she was like, or you just go full send and you do colorful shoes too, like a purple skirt with a red sandal or, you know, a pink – whatever. And so – it sounds so simple, but that's just really unlocked like, oh yeah, I might as well just go more forward in color since that's what I'm attracted to. That's what I wear. That's what I like. That's what I feel good in.
And the thing that I loved like hearing from you when you kind of came back from the session and I just want to be clear, like neither of us are like hawking this session. We're like truly just talking about what she learned so you can apply it in your own closet. But the thing that I loved about what you were talking about in your session was like kind of her leaning into this idea of, I think so often we see these things come up, like whether on social media or like just different trends, and we feel like we have to fit into that box. And she's more like, no, how do we reach into who you are with your style and experiment with that versus like for a capsule wardrobe, that's trendy, but you're like, that's not for me. So I can try to do that, but that's not going to light me up. That's not going to fit how I want to show up in the world. And so then it became confusing because you're like, well, the things that I like don't fit into the box of like this like 5-year trend, right? And so she was just like, how do we do this in a way that suits you, you know?
Yes, it was so illuminating. One of my favorite phrases that she said was like, you rarely need new clothes, you need new ideas. And that really helped me. I love how sustainable and practical she is. She is not about like throw away everything and start over. She's very much about like use your pieces. You love your closet or you loved it at some point. If you don't, that's fine. You know, we're moving on. Let's look at what the themes are of what you do love. So she's very good about helping you visually organize, like take out what you actually wear, not your favorite things, but what you actually wear. And is there anything in common? Like, are you reaching for the same color, same silhouette? Okay, now we're going somewhere. Like, this is what you like. This is your home base.
Mm-hmm.
And then building off of that. So I've been having fun. I've been thinking about new ways to use stuff. Like I used a scarf as a belt, you know, the other day, and I'm using like more of my costume glasses that are just like fun, random for like a one night thing. And I've just kind of incorporated that. And I'm like, well, I could still like wear it for an outfit. It's still fun. So I guess I'm not reserving my closet for a certain event. I'm just dressing how I want to dress that day, regardless if I'm going somewhere or not, which was also helpful.
And I love, you know, you do have these pieces that are like quote unquote for special occasions where everything is special. But what I've loved seeing you do is bring in just one special piece into a normal outfit so that it's like wearable, where it's not like, you know, like when you were in Vail and you like had the, like, the fur shawl and it's like, oh, you got that for a night in which you were wearing like a nice dress and like, you know, you were going all out, but then you just put it with like, you know, a normal jacket. But then put that on and it like elevated the whole outfit, but you were still able to like go out and be normal in that. And so I love seeing you like either with the brooches or the shawl or like, you know, different accessories, just picking one special piece and not locking that away for like, oh, this is for an event. This is just something to elevate a everyday outfit.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm having a bunch of fun. I just really have unlocked, I keep using that word because it just feels like I haven't necessarily bought new things. I'm just looking at what I have in a new way. So having fun, loved it, highly recommend. So personally, if you just wanted to know more of the basics of or like the practical flow. So we got online for an hour. We were in my closet. She was putting different outfits together for me. You can either make notes or take pictures. And then afterwards, depending on what styling consult you buy, you get customizable links that she thinks could be like helpful pieces. But she nailed it. Ken saw. Like I sent her.
And she sent a lot. And I think what was cool too was even you seeing the links of what she sent helped you be like, oh, I actually have something like this in my closet. Like I hadn't thought to pair these things together. And so it kind of comes back to this idea of like, you don't need new clothes, you need new ideas. And I don't know. I've just loved this because I really do genuinely think fashion is play. Like it's just fun. It's not that serious. I don't think it's some like, oh, this is so materialistic and whatever. It is a creative expression and it's fun and it doesn't require buying new things. It's just having fun with what you have and seeing what fits for you. I think the people's style that I'm most attracted to are the people who just like really lean into who they are. Like you see the soul of who they are on the outside. And I was talking to Angela about that. Just in my idea of the energetics of style is like, I love seeing things that speak to who someone is because it's like you're getting to know them without ever speaking to them. And it is an invitation to speak with them. So if I see a girl in a t-shirt and yoga pants, listen, I'm doing that all the time too, but I don't know anything about that girl, right? But when I see like just even a random bracelet or a certain colors or whatever, like I'm reading something about someone, like they are telling me parts of who they are without ever speaking. And it makes me feel like I'm getting to know a stranger in kind of a funny way. And so I love seeing people like full send their personality because I'm like, oh man, this is so cool to see who you are inside on the outside. And
it's poetic. It's really poetic. And I think a lot, It has been spiritual, which we've done a whole podcast episode way back in the day called Style is Spiritual about this, about these different modalities that can really get you to like learn more about yourself and what you love and what you don't and what you're fearful of. I mean, it's brought up some themes that I didn't expect with just getting myself dressed every day. Because now that I'm doing the Style 75, which is way more my speed than the two-a-day workout 75 hard fitness one, but the Style one simply is getting dressed every day, documenting it.
For 75 days, yeah.
For 75 days, documenting it, private or public, whatever you want to do. And we're only on day 6 and of like a group of people that are doing it with me. And it's already unlocked a ton of different themes. And one of those is just when Kendall had said off mic, like we have to put clothes on to go out into the world. Okay. Whatever that is, whether we throw on an oversized t-shirt or whatever, you have to put on clothes and everything you choose is actually a choice. So I was making it so much more difficult in my head. This is a common theme in my life where I'm overcomplicating it, being like, oh, well, I'm walking out the door to drop my kids off at school. Like, it doesn't have to be all this, you know, blah, blah, blah. Just throw on t-shirt and leggings. Sure. It took me the same amount of time, no added time, to throw on like a sweater and some earrings and like a cuter shoe. Took the exact amount of time. So then that taught me, okay, I actually just am running from showing up as my true self. Some days that's okay with me. Like, I'm trying to hide. And then other days I'm like, well, what is the block here? Just this little act of
just showing up for yourself.
Yes. And like basically looking at myself in the mirror and saying like, I respect you and I'm going to dress you like I respect you has been so much more emotional than I thought. And I am in the Tinder time of life. So that's probably has to do with it, but I don't know. I just encourage if you feel like you're in a rut, or maybe you're listening to this and just you're like, fashion isn't for me. I brought up the example of Adam Sandler bringing like wearing basketball shorts and t-shirts all the time, all like on the red carpet. That's still a choice.
That is his style. Like, that is still a choice. So it's like, no matter what you put on your body, it is a choice. And that says something. And whether you like it or not, like, it says something. And I think that there's like beautiful things about all of it. It's saying, what do I want to say? Like, what conversation do I want to have with the world? Like, that's the beauty of it. It's not, oh, like you have to put on a dress to be pretty. Like, this isn't about looking good. It's about saying like, how do I want to interact with the world, and what do I want to say? And that can be as many different things as conversations that exist. Right. And so I love that, like, Adam Sandler, I don't even think it's like, oh, this person has bad style, or like, I know people make jokes about it, but I'm like, this is a bold statement. This is a conversation. This is, I have so much money and I want to show up as this like everyday guy. I think that that's a very impactful conversation, and that is how he shows up. And so I don't know. I personally think, I don't think that he wears that without thinking, this is how I want to show up. And that's his conversation.
Yeah.
And it makes other people comfortable around him. Like, that to me is cool. And so I don't know. I just think getting dressed in the morning when it truly does take the same amount of time. And I do think that we overcomplicate it. And I do think that we say like, oh, if I'm going to get dressed up, then I have to like fully do my hair and fully do my makeup. And like, I just don't like ascribe to that. Like, subscribe. Yeah. I don't subscribe to that. Like, to me is, I regularly don't do my makeup, don't do my hair, like, and I'll put on a cool outfit because it takes me the same amount of time and I just feel better in that way. And so I don't think it's, oh my gosh, I have to like put my hair in curlers if I'm going to wear something that makes me feel like me. It's just like, I promise you, if you have a dirty bun and you put on something that you feel good in, you're going to feel better.
Yeah.
And that doesn't matter what that is. That's very personal to whoever that is, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I give myself full permission to hate my outfit. That's part of it. Like, not, I love saying not every outfit's going to be a home run. That's how you learn and that's how you know. And you, for me, getting in there and trying is how I will learn and experiment and get to a signature style. I think I already have things that like people in my life will be like, oh, that's Angela. Like that reminds me of Angela. Like I like really bright, really bold. So a lot of people don't like that. And that also kind of, I was like kind of gaslighting myself because I tend to like things that are a little bit more bold than the I wouldn't say the normal person, but just like a lot of people are more comfortable, a little bit more subdued than I am. And I'm the reverse. If I'm in something too subdued, I don't feel like myself.
No, like so, it's so funny. Angela sent me a photo of something today and she had nude nails, like just clear. Yeah. And I was like, this looks beautiful. Like your nails look great. This is odd for me to see it because I was like, I'm used to your little highlighter fingers. Like usually she does like a bright yellow or a bright pink or, you know, green, or like she experiments with the color on her fingers. And I was like, it's so funny seeing your nails nude. Like she was like, I hate it. I'm getting it changed.
I got it. Yeah. I got it changed today. I could not stand it. But that's another thing. It's like, okay, I tried something I never tried before. Most people start with a clear nail and I start with like a bright yellow nail. So just, I had to start like thinking, what do I like? Not what do I see out in the world? And that helped me a lot. Oh, another piece while we're talking about it. I stopped dressing for what I thought would make me look the thinnest. And that was so freeing.
Claps from the back.
I never used to buy anything oversized. I never used to buy anything boxy, da 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 da. Now, granted, I still am not attracted to that on me, just on a personal preference. But unlocking just like dressing for the proportions that I think are cool, not what is most flattering, like revelation in my life. I am so much happier. Like I cannot, for anyone listening, I'm a size 14. So I just find it so relieving to be like, you know what? My body is my body. And whether it's flattering or not, if I like it and I feel good in it, I want to wear it. And so I no longer have this like, oh, what is the most flattering? Like,
which is so funny because once you started dressing like that, like to me, you looked even better. Like you've always looked beautiful, but I'm saying like you dressing with like freeing that up didn't like make it go down. It went up.
Right. It's so, you know what I mean? Like a scarf top I wouldn't have done before. Cause I'm like, oh, it's not going to have enough support for my giant chest. Or just like, I bought a really oversized sweatshirt or sweater and I used to not do that. And it's just, I'm just like, says who? Like, anyway, I've been vibing. So.
But people have been like stopping Angela. Like, have you done something different? Like, you know what I mean? So I just think if you're listening to this, like, we're not trying to make this conversation about like, oh, okay, wear something and be pretty and show up. It's more of a looking at what your blocks are for being you, not that you need to dress better or different or anything. It's more of a like, are you showing up in the way that you feel and like that you want to feel? And it's just interesting with this Style 75 thing. I am not in the group that she's in for this, but it's just interesting the idea of like, oh, kind of the excuses that we make about, I'm not even saying in that group, but we were just talking about like, oh, like the things that we'll tell ourselves to not.
Oh, I am so crafty for sure with my like, oh, I'm sweaty and like my kids, they were just so loud today. Like I want so badly to like use that as a shield protection because it's comfortable instead of being like it's vulnerable to try. That's another part of it. So when you put on an outfit that's nice and you put on lipstick and you put on a purse, it's saying I did try, and that's scary. So when you're hiding behind an oversized t-shirt, and I'm not coming for anyone, you guys, I do this on the regular, me and Kendall both, there's days where I have other priorities for the day, and I think that's so reasonable. But on the days that you are feeling like you're wanting to stretch that muscle, I've noticed it is vulnerable to try because there's a possibility of getting attention. There's a possibility of feeling like, okay, I'm safe when I don't try and I'm just a carbon copy of anybody I've ever seen on the street and I have no personality to my outfit. That's safe because no one's going to like look at me. This is just a narrative that comes in my head. So when I, especially since I love brights and bolds, it's like, I feel like that's an extra layer of like, oh, you really did try. Cause this is like this is a pretty out there outfit. Right. Mm-hmm. So it just attracts this, like, I am trying, I'm doing something. And that's not a comfortable truth for a lot of people.
Yeah. And, but again, it's just like not that serious, you know?
It's really
like,
not, team.
It's really not. Like, we make it so serious in our head. And we're like, everyone's looking at me. It's like, no, bitch, like, no one's looking at you.
No one cares.
And, or they like scan their eye over and they're like, cute outfit. Like, it's really not. But something that Angela said to me when she was like trying new things out in her closet after her style session was like, oh my gosh. I realized that this is just like truly a muscle and like training. And so she was saying, I'll look at people who have this like very well-developed style and think they must have just been born with it. Like they must just know.
I thought it was intuition.
Now I realize it's like
practice.
All of these failed outfits on the way to like effortlessly putting things together. And I was like, 100%. Like, I just feel like most people are like, yeah, I'm not gonna like even begin the journey, right? Like, no one wants to have their first workout in the gym. Mm-hmm. No one wants to have their first like speaking engagement. I mean, that's exciting. All of these things are exciting, but it's so nerve-wracking to do something for the first time. And you're like, oh, I'm not even gonna do it because someone else is like a famous speaker, right? But it's like, you don't ever get there without the try in the beginning. And I genuinely think that's the same with style. It's like, oh, okay. And I feel like clothes is like literally the safest thing to do that with. Like, because it's so not serious. Like, that's the beauty and the power of it is like, no one cares. So why not try?
Why not? And also another freeing thing is, and I say this with love, my husband wears almost exclusively college football t-shirts. And going out with him with that, I used to just be like, okay, well, I can't like be like dressed to the nines when I've got this like casual ass husband. But I'm not interested in getting him to like dress more elevated because that's not him. I'm just going to do me and he's going to do him. And that type of revelation, I used to just fight it. And granted, he's not going to show up to a wedding in his TCU shirt, but by the skin on his teeth,
I
swear.
Listen,
I'm telling you, he's one step
away. I'm like, I'm not quite sure. He might like throw like a sport coat over it and call
I am telling you guys, like, does he ruin my vibe when I'm trying to get an aesthetic picture and he's in a bright purple TCU shirt? Yes, but that's not any of my business.
That's his
like
journey.
I'm over it. And so, and I say this with love, I'm not singling him out, but his side of the family's really casual. So like in Vail, everyone was dressed like super, super casual. And I'm just not that casual of a girl.
You were serving.
I was serving by myself, but I honestly was vibing. Like, if you like,
by the way, none of you are allowed in my photos, but like, I will be serving.
I was serving left and right. And that's freeing too. Like, I don't have to dress the same, like, I don't have to be on the same wavelength as the people that I'm with. That also helped me. Cause then I just can do what I want. I don't know.
Yeah. I will say, circling back to inspiration, I wanted to like say this on the pod once I like really used it, but I know a few episodes back we had talked about kind of the like printing of the photos and putting it on the wall. It has been so fun for me to have that. Like, I actually reference that of like when I get in my closet, I'm like, I don't want to think, because I think that is such a hiccup too with getting dressed, is like, I don't want to have to think about what I'm going to wear.
Yes.
And it's the think piece. It's when you're like, I have so many decisions to make in my day, I don't want to make another one. And like, you know, but printing photos of things that are similar to things that I own, like outfits of things that are in my closet and seeing it styled, I can't tell you how easy it's been for me to look up and be like, oh, right. Like, I have a denim shirt. I have white linen pants. I have a brown belt. I have this gold jewelry. Like, how quick it can be by looking up and not directly copying an outfit, but being like, oh, the base of this, I have all of these things because I specifically looked up outfits that were based off of things that I already own and put my own little spin on it. And it's almost like Spark Notes version of like, oh, I don't have to think about this, but I resonate with this and I can put it on and feel better than like not thinking, you know?
I'm so glad you said that because I do think there's a huge part of decision fatigue, especially for women, where we're just like, not another thing that I need to handle. So that kind of takes that out of it. I never used to dig into inspiration of other... I that unlocked a new portal too. Like, oh, Ange, why don't you look at other people that have styled a red blazer and get ideas? I never used to do that. And also
things that you genuinely enjoy in your closet. Like, don't set yourself up for failure of like, I don't like this blazer, but I'm going to force myself to wear it. And so I'm going to look up photos of other. Right. Yeah. Like, start with your loving pieces. Start also with people who have similar body types as you. Mm-hmm. So like, don't go on and be like, oh, this girl who has a completely different height, completely different body type, completely like whatever it is. And then be like, this outfit is going to look the same. Like, I will literally type in my size, even into Pinterest. Type in my size and then the item that I'm trying to style so I can look at it on people who are a similar height and size as me. So I can be like, oh, okay, I like how this hangs, or I like how, or like, that's not for me, or like whatever. And that helps you have a realistic view too, because you don't want to set yourself up for like, wait, I don't look like this for whatever reason. And yeah, so I just have a lot of like photos up of people who are like generally the same vibe, generally the same size, generally the same height, so that I can realistically see what this would look like. And I think that that's been really helpful too.
Yeah, makes sense. Wow, team. What a ride.
What a ride. Are we wrapping up? Do we have time for
hyperfixations? No, not at all. We have plenty of time. And I also want to quickly hit on nostalgia. So...
Oh my God. You're supposed to do that up top.
No, I know. You go, Angela, you want to talk about Alison Bornstein? I was like,
sorry. I was just so excited. I was so excited.
No, I mean, it's our show.
Up top. It's our show. Buckle up. No, I truly was like, Angela, here's
Angela,
the,
here's
the
outline. I'm like, got it. She's like, and then so I just everybody.
Zoomed straight to fashion. Now I get why you were laughing at the beginning. I'm like, tell me about your styling session. Like, oh. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, you literally just gave me my marching orders 2 minutes ago, and then you're changing it up. Okay, got it.
About to be like, bop it, and you're like, Alison Bornstein. Like, okay, well, Will, we can go there for sure.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Well, you guys, so walk with me on this. So my four-year-old's, there's a bunch of birthdays coming up in March for us, and my four-year-old's like very obsessed with birthdays. Who's the next birthday? Blah, 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 blah. So I was like, okay, let's go to Hobby Lobby and get little cardstock and finger paints and stickers, whatever. So he can make birthday cards for my mom coming up, mother-in-law, whatever. Well, I rarely take the boys like inside, and I haven't been inside a Hobby Lobby in a long time. So while I was there, all of a sudden, a idea tapped me that's been kind of tapping me, which is, and I'm praying there are those listening that know what I'm talking about. I'm just praying there's a community of people chiming in right now or listening right now that know this. So I had a recovered memory from childhood while I was standing in the Hobby Lobby. It was like a That's So Raven moment where I stared off into the abyss and was like, oh, I bet they have them here. I used to be obsessed with latch hook art, which is like this little grid, canvas grid, open style, with these little pieces of yarn with a latch hook, and you create like a shaggy rug with it's a full kit.
It's really cool.
But a latch hook is what it's called. I forgot what it's called because I'm like, people are not following. I did not know the name of it, but when I was
it is a way you can make. Yeah, but I do want to say, because when you said you were into, she texted me and she was like, I was so into yarn art. I had a very different idea in my head when she said that from what this is. So latch hook is a manual way that you can make rugs.
Yes.
So it's kind of that like the pill of like shaggy yarn on top in a design. So people will make large scale of these as rugs. Like you can actually put them in rooms, or they can be small size and frame.
Yes. What did you think it was?
Well, when you said only yarn on, I was truly picturing you like doing almost like needlepoint. Like needlepoint with yarn. Because when you said yarn art, I was like, oh, she was like needlepointing. So then when you sent me latch hook, I was like, oh, like the rug making. Got it.
Yes. And it's like almost like a color by numbers vibe, because the little canvas is color coded. So you just put the little yarns with your little tool. Anyway, you guys, I was into it when I was 8 years old. So I assure you it is beginner friendly. And I used to watch cartoons and make, oh my God, I'm literally doing the hand motion right now. And it could bring tears. It could bring tears. Literally tears are welling, because as I'm telling this story, I wish you guys had a visual coming soon video. But I used to do these latch hook art while I did cartoons. So anyways, I'm standing in Hobby Lobby and I was like, I bet they have these. These are so 90s coded. Sure enough, they did. All the designs are fugly, but that's fine. I found a butterfly that was kind of palatable.
No, I also told her, I was like, this is coming back. Like these handcrafts are coming back, but in a reinvented style. I was like, I bet you can find so many on Etsy or like cool designs.
Latch hook kit. I'm going to see. I can't do this on mic, but I need to see if on people.
I'm like, I am like, not here I for forgot. Your Google deep dive while we're done. You're like, I forget we're just not on the phone. Like other people are listening. You're like, ticket, yarn art.
Beep boop, beep boop. This Moroccan sheep rug that somebody made from latch hook. This is so cool. Okay.
Okay. Anyways.
Anyways. So that got me into the fact that like, oh my gosh, my younger self loved that. What else was I into? And I did see a commentary TikTok story of my life about how millennials are obsessed with nostalgia in a way that like Gen Z is like creeped out how much we like yearn. We're such a yearning generation.
Yes.
And so, and I'm like, that tracks. Like there's full people that are like millennial mothers that are loving Hello Kitty. Like we love it. And I'm one, like Lisa Frank. I think it's so cool. I'm not like about to like buy all these things, but it does pain me in the best feeling way to see these things that I used to love in childhood. One of those being, now that I'm thinking about it, you guys, did you ever eat those Flintstone push pops, the orange sherbet push pops?
Oh my God.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They're ice cream.
Yes, I know what you're saying.
But it was like
a
couple flavors. And they were Flintstone branded, orange and strawberry. Oh my gosh, they were so good.
This is like truly bringing me back.
Okay, another thing I was thinking about.
Have you seen people who use those to make cocktails?
No,
but it's like such a millennial cocktail. It's like people put like champagne and I can't even remember what else, but they like put a Flintstone pop in it.
I need, also I have an unfortunate update. Egg white cocktails are good. I know. Okay. I was such a hater, but I was outside of the arena.
I know. We got so many messages.
Yeah.
People like, how dare you? Egg white cocktails are good. I think truly my whole thing with that was specifically in the Christmas like subcategory was like,
yes,
I know, but eggnog, but also the other like, just holiday drinks with, anyway, we don't have to get off on that tangent.
Yeah,
but
I had a whiskey sour with egg whites and it was delicious.
Okay.
It was so good.
Well, right. Okay. That's fine. We're not having eggnog.
No. Eggnog, I draw the line. Yes. Eggnog.
I'm getting sick. I went from this nostalgic
situation.
Let me bring to eggnog.
I know.
Let's wrap it. But I will say, so what we were talking about with that is kind of this thing of, there's that theory of like, you are never more your true self than when you're a child. Like if you want to get back to yourself or get back to your joy, like look at what you enjoyed doing from age like 5 to 8 or 9, like that kind of time frame is your purest, like your soul is expressing itself before the world tells you that that's like not cool or spend your time otherwise or like whatever. And like, it is so cool to remember back to what you genuinely enjoyed doing as a child and then having this kind of revamped visit to it as an adult. And I mean, even with like poetry, like I'll write poetry occasionally, but that's something that my grandma will always talk about, that when before I could write or read, that I would go outside and like scribble on paper and then come in and read my stories. And that she said it would shock her because I could remember exactly. She was like, you would have thought it was actually written because you would tell the same story over and over and over that you like scribbled on a paper. And so it's just these things that we did as kids that we love so much. Like I loved photography. Like, so for my birthday, I got a like film. I mean, one of those plastic cameras. Do you remember these that were like big and plastic for kids that you would load film into and then you'd have to go get it developed like Walgreens or whatever? So it wasn't a disposable camera, but it wasn't like a Canon like film camera. It was just like had two little eye holes, like not even one, like two, and you would put it up to your face. Anyway, I had one of those and I would use like my birthday money. What?
I'm remembering, I Googled like kids cameras, 1990s.
Yes. So And so you would have like both eye holes. So you would put it up and like look through it almost like binoculars, you would take. So I would use my birthday money or Christmas money or whatever, or ask for film. And my parents would load it and I would go and get things and like put them in photo albums, like as a kid. And it's just so cute to see that like revisited as an adult of like, oh, I genuinely love taking photos. I love writing. I love art. Like that I sold paintings outside of our house. Paintings is a generous word for what I was doing at that age. Like I took one of those Fisher Price kitchen sets from being a kid, and I went out and stood on the end of my driveway and sold paintings that I did on printer paper to our neighbors. Like, bless their souls, they're like, okay, I'll give you 25 cents to just like stop talking to us. But sold paintings. So I'm like, oh right, selling goods, making art, writing, like all of these things are just so the purest form of what is revisited as an adult of the things that you feel naturally drawn to, you know?
Oh my gosh, it's so true. I was really into doing lemonade stands, and I would like employ my brothers and Avery. So I would be like the boss, and then I would like orchestrate. Of course. Like, okay, you are going inside to get the powder. You are taking the money. I will like man the cooler. Like it was just, it writes itself.
Your entrepreneurial spirit,
literally.
And why were we both so obsessed as children at like making money? Like, why couldn't I just, why couldn't I just
relax,
like, paint in my room and be like, mom, can you hang this on the fridge? I was like, you
let's
know what?
Monetize.
If I'm painting this, bitches will be paying like for my MoMA pieces over here at five. Like,
oh,
you
gosh.
All need to give me a quarter if you want a piece of this. Like, what? Why were we so into the monetization?
I don't know. I need to text my dad, because as we're talking about this, I remembered that I used to write poems, and one of them was decently good, and he got it published in like a poetry book. I need to see if he remembers. Do you remember publishing my poem for me when I was
oh my gosh old? I hope he responds in
I know what
real
time,
time
is it?
So that
what time is it in Ireland? Dang it, it's 2:30.
I know Angela's dad he may still be up. Angela's dad's in Ireland right now, so
yeah. Do you remember publishing my, he's getting his PhD. That's another thing he's always wanted to do, speaking of, since he was like 25 and now he's doing it at almost 60, so that's always fun.
It's so cute.
It is. It really is.
Okay.
Anyway, oh, okay. So all of this
She's
was to say.
She's the keeper
sorry.
Of time.
Yeah. My bad. Okay. So all this was to say. So I got the latch hook in Hobby Lobby, and it started a conversation of like returning to inner child stuff, that not in this like huge soul work, just like a lighter version. Like, what made me happy when I was a kid? Little hobbies, little trinkets, little things. And I've just been having a ball. So I opened it up and I did almost start crying because I just remembered just so viscerally the feeling of the yarn in my hands, like all of it came running back. And so now after I get off this mic, I'm going to watch Love is Blind, my homework assignment.
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, so we're doing a Love is Blind episode and breakdown. I literally was like, do you know how many times I have watched, done, researched things for your wild hair ideas? You need to watch Love is Blind. Like,
and I've seen the other seasons. Angela's, so it's like,
no, but Angela, when I caught her, I was completely up to date on the episodes and I'm like, we're almost done, you need to start. She's like, okay. She's been on her reading game, we're proud of her, blah blah blah, you're so present.
But she's like, so every superior. Day she's like,
I'm like, no,
she's like, have you watched LIB? I'm like, I'm reading Demon Copperhead. She's like,
no, okay. I'm sorry, you're not a better person. You need to watch this trash TV because I never ask you to do anything pop culture and you need to get on the train.
No, I like, will.
There is a dirty little box for me with Love is Blind. I'm not proud to admit it, but I know a lot of you are in the same boat.
No, people are jonesing to talk about it because I've been getting texts out the ass about it, and so I know it's time.
Yes, it is time. And
I was
so,
taking my homework serious. I brought up the recording schedule. I was taking it serious. I was like, how much time do I have?
Yeah. No, she's been updating me like, all right, I'm doing my homework right now. I'm like, don't act like you don't love this, okay? And it just kills me, her little commentary of like, where she's like an episode or two in. I've like seen all of it and I'm like, oh, I can't say anything. Like, I feel you. But anyway, we're bringing our friend on,
yes,
who is very, yeah. Anyway, so.
That'll be next week.
Once it's wrapped up.
Not next week.
But they just dropped, I mean, when you hear this on Monday, it'll still be the newest episode, but they just dropped one tonight. So,
oh, okay. So, yeah, it's still in real time. Like, I think,
yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. It's like mid-March when
I'm just
totally
saying,
done.
I literally, as we were getting on mic, I got 4 texts from people that were like, did you see that Love is Blind? Like, the new app just dropped. And I'm like, okay, well, unfortunately, I'm recording right now. When I get off mic, I will be watching Love is Blind. So,
yeah, how the tides have turned, because I'm the one that's behind on The Bachelor.
I didn't watch
Naked Attraction, Love is Blind, but I'm going to get there. I really am. I'm going to binge watch and be up to date with everybody.
Here's what happened, truly. When I was postpartum with June and like literally not leaving the couch, okay, like the first like month of her being alive where she's like potato and only wanting to eat, I truly could not leave the couch with her. So I watched all of Love is Blind. I'm talking like from the beginning. Yeah. So it was such a condensed, like, I feel like I got so sold in because I watched so much of it in such a condensed amount of time.
That is true.
That then when this season came out, I was like, well, obviously we have to like continue. So this was like getting a hit from like a year ago that I watched like 5 seasons of this in a month and then didn't watch any for whatever, like 10, 11 months, and then now we're back in. So I'm like, this is like a fun little treat for me.
Yeah, I watched the first season in real time, so that was like years ago when Love is Blind first dropped the first season.
But I was like following people on Instagram, like trying to see the sauce, and it was like out of like people have been married for years at this point when I'm like following them on Instagram, so it was just like funny. So I'm like keeping up with their lives, like what's going on. Anyway, so we're going to talk about...
I can't believe there's 6 seasons. That is kind of crazy.
Yeah. So
okay,
anyway,
I see.
We'll do a deep dive. We'll do a deep dive. But Angela is currently doing her homework. We're queuing it up. I would like to say one little thing, just another little teaser here.
Okay.
We've got something cooking for you. We're not going to say what it is, but Angela and I have been working on something behind the scenes that's VV exciting. Uh-huh. And it will be coming out very soon. So just keep a lookout on the Unpolished page. It's something that could be for anyone and everyone. And I mean everyone.
True.
And we're very excited. So
Yep. More to come on that. But also, if you listen and you're a fan, follow us over on our Instagram page. This is the first time since we've rebranded that we have a place for all of our little jokes to land. So come on over there, because we had Woo Woo School for years and never had a place to like all congregate. And now we do. So if you listen, if your friends listen, if your family listens, send them on over there, because we do cute little graphics and like little Easter eggs every week, supplemental content. We just keep it moving. So
yeah. And you can see our little graphics and know when, you know. Well, okay.
Well,
we love you. Thank you so much for listening to us. It seriously really, really, really means the world. Like, we're just having a good time over here. And I just, both of us have such gratitude for you tuning in, for letting us know you're tuning in, for the conversations. Like, it feels so good, like for real. And we're just really glad you're on this journey with us. So thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Yes, we will see you. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's a wrap from your girls, Kendall and Ange. Thank you for listening. Send this to somebody that you think will like it. XOXO, the Unpolished Girlies. Bye-bye.